from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, December 23rd is the deadline to enroll for health insurance coverage that starts on January 1st, 2014. In the last-minute rush to make the cutoff, nearly 50,000 people signed up through Covered California, the state's health insurance exchange, in the first week of December alone. Are you a young adult, no longer on your parents' insurance, a freelancer or business owner who doesn't have a company plan? Are you unsure if you're eligible for the expanded version of Medi-Cal? We'll take your questions about Obamacare and signing up for coverage in California next after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. Almost 50,000 individuals signed up in California through December 7th, according to the exchange, Covered California. Since the marketplace launched on the 1st of October, at least 156,143 people have signed up, which means about a third of the national enrollment has been done via the California website. In addition, 179,000 Californians will likely be eligible for the expanded version of Medi-Cal. In this opening Forum Hour, we welcome your questions about Obamacare and signing up for coverage in California. And joining us to talk about, well, California coverage as well as Obamacare in general, Lisa Alaferez, who is health editor for KQED News. She edits the State of Health blog. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Good to have you. And also good to have Emily Bazar with us, who is senior writer for the California Healthcare Foundation, Center for Health Reporting at USC Annenberg School for Communications and Journalism. She is responsible for the Ask Emily column about Obamacare. Emily Bazar, good to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you both. Lisa, let me begin with you. Let's talk about this deadline, just so people are certain in their minds what's at stake here and how hard and fast it is and all that.
Mm-hmm. So next Monday, December 23rd, is the deadline to have completed your application and selected a plan for coverage that will start January 1st. So for people who want health insurance available to them on January 1st, if you do not have insurance now or you have an individual health insurance plan that has been canceled, you need to sign up by next Monday. The open enrollment period, though, does last until March 31st for people who want to avoid the so-called individual mandate. And I just want to stress again, this is for people buying on the individual market, people who have employer-based coverage, people who are on Medicare, people who are currently on Medi-Cal. This deadline does not matter at all to them. They need do nothing.
I know we're going to take a lot of questions, but talk, if you would, about payments and just generally how this website has been going. I mean, it's a lot better than the Fed website, obviously, but there have been some technical problems.
That's correct. It's coveredca.com is much more effective and user-friendly than and behaving better overall than the problem-plagued healthcare.gov. I really want people in California to understand they enroll, if they wish to enroll, they enroll through coveredca.com. They do not go to healthcare.gov. And the deadline, as I said, to pick a plan is next Monday. But the deadline to pay your first month's insurance, both the federal government and the states have pushed that deadline back to January 6th to give consumers another pay period after the holidays to have the money to pay for their first month's premium.
And there has been a government extension of the pre-existing condition insurance plan for a month, too?
That I'm not yes, in other states, I believe that's true. I don't know if that's true in California. Maybe I believe that's just the rest of the country.
Emily, do you know Emily Bazar?
Actually, I was going to say, I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that one either.
Well, we'll have lots of answers from both of you, but let's talk about, let's general with both of you about things that people need to know in transition. Emily?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, Michael?
Just what people need to know in transition. I mean, for example, mm-hmm. Provider networks and lists of covered prescription drugs that are available and anonymous shopping features, government providing these lists up to date, that sort of thing.
There's a lot that people need to know. In some ways, I'm not sure where to start, but you mentioned some very important ones. Provider networks is very important. There are 11 plans that Covered California is selling throughout the state. Now, actually, Covered California isn't selling them. It's just the marketplace for them. The insurance plans are selling them. Now, not all of those 11 plans are available in each region of the state. The costs of the plans and the plans that are available to you depend on where you live. And California is such a big state that it is cut up into 19 geographical regions. And some plans people will be very familiar with. They're the big ones like Kaiser, like Anthem, that sort of thing. But then there are some very regional plans like the Contra Costa health plan and in LA, the LA Care health plan. So when people, for instance, as Lisa said, if you have an individual market plan, let's just choose an insurer. Let's say Anthem. Let's say you have Anthem now and you are looking for another plan on the exchange and you see that in your area there's an Anthem plan and you think, wow, that means I get to keep my doctor. Not necessarily. People really need to pay attention to which doctors are covered under the Covered California plans because they may not be the same doctors that are covered in the out-of-covered California plans, if that makes sense. So people really need to do their homework about that. They need to check with the you can look this up online on the Covered CA website. I've heard that's not the easiest thing in the world. Call your doctor directly or call your insurer or call the insurer directly to make sure. There's lots of things. People need to estimate their 2014 income when they're applying for tax credits. Now, as your listeners,
that can be pretty tricky.
Yes. Yes, it can, especially if you don't have a full-time job and you're not salaried. If you're on contract, you could lose your job. So it's not an easy thing. So people need to estimate as best they can their 2014 income, and they need to be careful because this income is what those tax credits are going to be based on, and you can only get tax credits if your income is within an income certain range, which I can get into if you want right now or later, and if they buy a plan from Covered California. You can't get tax credits elsewhere. So let's say you're an independent contractor and you've got a lot of contracts coming in. Well, let's do the opposite. Let's say you're an independent contractor and you don't have much coming in right now and you estimate your income and you get a lot of tax credits, but then mid-year next year, you get a big contract. Well, you're going to have to call Covered California and readjust how much you pay in your premiums and how much tax credits you get, because if you don't do that, then come tax time, the following year, you're going to owe a lot of money. You're going to have to pay those tax credits back.
Emily Bazar, again, is senior writer of the California Healthcare Foundation, Center for Health Reporting. And I know there are many of you who have questions, and I want to give you an opportunity to bring them to the fore right now. In fact, our toll-free number is available. And if you do have a question or if you want to find out more about what you need to do and what you should do and ought to do, our toll-free number is 866-733-6786. You can reach us by phone, and we invite you to do so. It's 866-733-6786, or email us. Our email address, forum@kqed.org. There are other ways that you can get your questions through to us. You can go to our Facebook page. You can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. We'll try to get to as many of you as we can in the time permitting. Let me go back, if I may, though, to you, Lisa Alaferis. How are we doing in California on these so-called young invincibles? I mean, they're needed. They're needed desperately. I'm talking about, the young people that are needed really to float this whole operation.
So, yes, we do need the young, healthy people to help to spread the risk in the insurance pool. And so far, I would say there's some relief that they seem to be signing up in rough proportion with their representation in the population in the state of California.
They're at pace with population.
So, yes. And so that's good. Of course, we can't know the health status of all those people yet, but the presumption is that the age is a kind of a proxy for health status, that younger people tend to be healthier than older people who tend to develop more chronic diseases as they age or other kinds of illnesses. So that is a good news. That's a reassuring note for Covered California.
On the other hand, I don't think Latinos are signing up in great number, for example.
That's correct. And that is a significant concern to the state marketplace, because the Latinos in the state are also tend to be younger and healthier than the population as a whole. And they are also the primary people who will benefit from this because they will make up, I think it's 60% of those who are subsidy eligible. So, but only about 3% of Latinos have signed up already. And that is, and again, the state uses language as a proxy for ethnicity here. So of Spanish speakers, primary Spanish speakers as opposed to primary English speakers, that's how they parse that all out. Only 3% have enrolled. And so they are doubling down on the state is Cover California is launching focus groups to look at why their outreach is not working. They have tens of millions of dollars in grants to reach out to people across the state, including Latinos. And so far, those efforts are falling short.
And Emily Baeser, what about penalties for those who don't sign up, the fine, just so people understand?
Right, exactly. Exactly. Now, as Lisa said, the open enrollment period this year actually goes through March 31st. This is a one-time only deal. Next year, it will be October 15th through December 7th. But now, pretty much everybody's going to have health insurance or face this penalty. Now, there are some exceptions. And the reason I bring up the fact that open enrollment goes through March 31st is that if you go without health insurance for less than 3 months, then you're exempt from the Obamacare tax penalty. But let's say you wait till March 15th or March 22nd to buy your health insurance. That won't kick in until May 1st if you buy it after March 15th. But for people who wait to the very, very last minute and do that, they will not be subject, the federal government has said, to the penalty this year only. And again, that's a one-time deal. But in general, you're going to have health insurance starting January 1st, unless you're in one of these categories, and most people are not. And for the first year, the penalty is $95 per adult, or 1% of your household income, whichever is greater. And each year it goes up until it hits $695, I believe that's in 2016, or 2.5% of your household income. And children, too, are subject to the tax, so they need to be covered, and their tax penalty rate is half of the adult rate.
But Lisa, there's no penalty for switching to Medicare. I mean, you can get the tax credits and switch, actually, if you're eligible, right?
To Medicare?
Yeah, so Medi-Cal.
To Medi-Cal. So yeah. You need to have health insurance, and there's this expanded Medicaid program. So more people will qualify for that. That is either it's very low cost or no cost for many people. But all with certain exceptions, as Emily has pointed out, with certain exceptions, individuals have to have health insurance, and that can include Medi-Cal would count as that health insurance.
Our guests again are Lisa Alaferez, who is our health editor here at KQED News and edits the State of Health blog, and Emily Baeser, who is a senior writer at California Healthcare Foundation. She does the Ask Emily column on Obamacare, and we're going to take your questions. I know many of you have them, and we hope we can provide answers for you or at least tell you where to go to find answers, and let's take as many as we can. We begin, Jenny, with you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Jenny. Go ahead.
Hi. I've been trying to enroll for Medi-Cal since mid-November. I tried twice through the Cover California website. Both times I received mailed rejections saying that I had failed to qualify for a silver plan, which is not even an option on the drop-down menu when you qualify for Medi-Cal. I've since gone to the website. The one time I was able to get through on the Cover California phone number, they sent me over to San Francisco County Medi-Cal office, and they had me fax over my documentation. I don't have any confirmation that anything is being processed. I just have messages that they've received my information, and I'm terrified that I'm not going to have health insurance after the first of the year.
Yeah, Lisa Alaferez is nodding here and empathic.
Empathically, yes. Or yes. So,
emphatically and empathically.
There we go. I'm very sorry that this is happening. You're not the only person I've heard from that this is happening to. So it sounds like you believe that you qualify based on income for Medi-Cal. And the the only thing I could recommend is that you try and present in person at a county office. And you can, on the coveredca.com website, find, you know, you can click on Find Help Near You, and it'll list places that you can go in person. I recognize that this is very inconvenient and not what was intended. It was intended that you could enroll and have your eligibility determined online. But if you are truly that worried, I would try to present in person if possible.
And good luck to you, Jenny. Thank you for calling us. We'll go to another caller right away. Becca, hi, you're on.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for everything you do, Michael.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. So I own a small business, which is basically me, and I've never had insurance as an adult, so I'm really excited about having it. I'm in my 40s. I'm healthy. So I applied to Covered California. The process was hard. I got hung up on. I finally, fought through it and did it. And now I'm getting a phone call back because I haven't filed it because I'm finding the decision-making process and the website really confusing. So I actually got a letter, and then I got a phone call from an independent agent from a company that said, we've been hired by California to help you make a decision. And I'm game, but I'm also concerned about talking to somebody that I don't know has a certification about my personal information. Is that legit?
Emily Bazer.
Yeah. This is a great question, Becca. And Covered California has taken some flack for releasing people's names like yours. And there are very big privacy concerns about this. So what they did, what Covered California did, is it has given out the names of people like Becca who have gone through the process or started the process but didn't quite seal the deal. And they've given them to certified agents. Indeed, I mean, they've given them to supposedly legitimate people who have been trained and certified by Covered California to help finish the process.
But now, without permission from those whose names
exactly, they were exactly. Now, Becca, you know, one thing I was going to say, and also to Jenny, the Medi-Cal caller, you don't have to just do it online. I know it's supposed to be more convenient. And you know what? It's not a lot of the time. This is a very complicated law. I would suggest, just as Lisa said, if there's any way you can go and get in-person help, and I will suggest something that you can do in addition to what Lisa did, or you can even just call Covered California, get someone on the phone, speak to them. And the number, I'm doing this from memory, Lisa, you can back me up on this one, it's 800-300-1506, 800-300-1506. That's Covered California. People are waiting a long time. I called in last week and I hung up after about half an hour. Somebody told me 50 minutes. So yeah, you're going to have a longer wait, but you'll actually speak to a person. Now, I actually think going to a certified agent, I'm not necessarily endorsing anyone, but these are people who know the insurance industry. These are people who've been trained by Covered California and certified by Covered California, and they are not going to – you don't have to pay them extra. They do get a fee, but from the insurance company for signing people up, but not from you. So, I mean, you may ask them, make sure that they're going to give you all the options that are available to you, but you could call the certified agent. You don't have to go with the one that called you. You can go online or call Covered California and find one in your area and go and sit down with them and go over your options with somebody who is familiar with insurance. That would be my recommendation.
And we thank you for that, Emily. In fact, let me go to some listener emails. You can email us forum@kqed.org or call us at 866-733-6786 if you have questions about California coverage. Charles writes, Lisa, let me go to you on this. I wish it would be made clearer that not all people enrolled through Covered California or healthcare.gov. You can also enroll directly with an insurer. My insurer canceled my old policy and mapped me to another. Hence, the numbers of enrollees on the website should not be compared to the whole number of people who need to enroll. And my best use of Covered California was calling and speaking with a knowledgeable representative for 20 minutes, answered all my questions, and guided me through the website.
Yes, you can enroll directly through a plan. As Charles said, he's done that, and that's worked for him. What some people, though, are looking at, they are getting tracked to a new plan with their current insurer, but many people are taking this opportunity to look at all their options and make sure they're getting the best deal and make sure their doctors are in the plan. Also, what he says is correct is there's enrollment through Covered California, and but there's also a broader individual market for Covered California is for anyone who wants to enroll there. But if you need, if you want a subsidy, if you want the tax credit, you must pick a plan through coveredca.com. But for people who do not qualify for the tax credit, they can shop on the wider, the broader individual market and avail themselves of more options.
And Emily Bazer, here's another question from a listener named Lane who writes, I'm self-employed and I used Covered California 2 weeks ago to apply for health insurance. I successfully completed the application and chose an insurance plan. However, I haven't yet received a bill from the insurance provider. The Covered California website says I should have received a bill within several days of my application. Should I contact Covered California or the insurance provider about this issue? I'm anxious to receive the bill and pay it before the deadline, and I will be out of town for the holidays.
I would call the insurance provider, and they'll know if you're signed up with them, number one, and then you can find out what the status of the bill is. Yeah, I would do that. As Lisa mentioned, there is a deadline by which you have to pay, and it's January 6th. So yeah, call the insurance provider, and if that doesn't work, call Covered California. Yeah, I'm very sorry. This is a complicated process for a lot of people.
Here's another caller. Tim, you're on. Good morning. Welcome to Forum.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for the program. Very insightful. I have two small children, the ages 2 and 4. They both had separate plans as my company does not cover the children without me paying an exorbitant cost. And both of their plans were canceled because they didn't qualify under the new Obamacare norms. And so I'm just wondering, advice for small children. What I'm seeing out there is double or triple what I was paying before, and it's very confusing to me. And they're just little guys, and so not sure the system's set up just to cover individual children, and maybe some advice on that.
Yeah, Lisa Alfaris.
So Tim, so if I'm understanding you correctly, you have employer-based coverage that is affordable for you, what you have to pay as part of your premium from your company, but your children, you have to pay much, much more of their premium. Your company does not cover that. And if that is the case, then children are, this is the so-called kid glitch. And I know Emily has written a lot about this as well. If your coverage, if your employer offers you coverage and your portion as the employee is affordable to you, then your children are not eligible for any, all your dependents, your spouse and your children are not eligible for tax credits, no matter how much your employer might charge you to pay for their plan. So people with families whose families are not covered through their employer-based insurance are in a tough spot. I'd actually like Emily to
What would
to
you
chime.
Advise him to do?
I would advise him to shop around as much as he can and, but there are, this is a very challenging issue for a lot of families. And actually, I'd like for Emily to weigh in on this, too.
Yeah, I was going to ask Emily. Emily Bazer.
No, Lisa's absolutely right. It sounds like, Tim, if Lisa's right in assuming that your coverage for yourself is affordable, and if your children are offered plans through the employer, then you might be you're out of luck, basically, and I'm very sorry. You would fall into the kid glitch because it's basically the definition of affordability is only for the employee only. As Lisa said, no matter how much the kids or the spouse would have to pay, so you have to just do your due diligence and shop around. I'm presuming, yeah, they wouldn't qualify for Medi-Cal, that sort of thing.
I'm sorry for Tim that he's in the kid glitch. Yeah. Thank you, though, Tim, for your call. And we'll go to more of your calls when we return. We're going to go to a quick break here. But again, if you have questions about Obamacare or about California coverage specifically, join us. And you can do that at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or email forum@kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. The Covered California enrollment deadline is approaching. In fact, December 23rd is the deadline to enroll for health insurance coverage. It begins on the 1st of January, 2014. And in the last-minute rush to make the cutoff, nearly 50,000 people have signed up through Covered California, the state's health insurance exchange, in the first week of December alone. If you have questions, we welcome them. Lisa Alfaris here in studio with us is health editor for KQED News, and she edits the State of Health blog. Emily Bazer with us by phone, senior writer at California Healthcare Foundation, the CHCF, Center for Health Reporting, and also the columnist for Ask Emily, which is all about Obamacare. And we're talking a little bit off air, Lisa and I, about affordability. This is something that maybe we want to elucidate for people listening.
So if you if you are offered insurance by your employer, or if you are seeking to purchase it on your own, and it is the amount you would pay for your premium is greater than 9.5% of your income, then you are deemed to have that is deemed to be unaffordable, and you are exempt from the mandate. So, but to me, this is not a very good choice, because it's unaffordable to you, so you don't need to have health insurance. But most people want to have health insurance because they want to be protected. They want to be able to avail themselves of health care. So,
can you talk a little bit also about how premiums are set?
So premiums are set by three factors only. So in the covered California marketplace, actually for individual policies as a whole, they're set by now three factors only: your age, where you live in one of these 19 regions of California that Emily was talking about earlier, and the number of people in your family. So no longer can pre-existing, no longer is your health status taken into account at all. So as much as people are saying it's confusing to navigate the new marketplace and the new rules, I actually, much earlier in the year, just for kicks, went on ehealthinsurance.com and selected a bunch of health plans and tried to enroll in a health plan. And it was a 40-minute process of answering myriad questions about my health status and my background and various things I've been to. That is no more. It is only your age, where you live, and the number of people in your family.
And Emily Bates, we're going to go to calls because we've got a lot of them here, and we want to answer as many as we can vis-a-vis questions. But family is defined as essentially tax dependents, and spouses to be eligible have to file joint returns. I mean, let's just talk about how these things are determined in terms of who can and can't file.
Exactly. Actually, Obamacare relies very, very much on your taxes. And if you end up getting tax credits, I talked to a CPA who's an expert in Obamacare. He said, I'm sure your listeners are going to love this, that our tax returns are going to get more complicated. But basically, yes, your family, we all know that the definition of family is evolving in terms of the social sense. But in the Obamacare sense, family is a tax definition. So basically, whoever you claim as your dependents can be considered your family. And that doesn't have to be mom, dad, two biological children. It could be aging parents who are you're taking care of and are living with you. It could be children who are not your biological children who are your dependents nonetheless. It could be adult children who have returned at age 45 and are living at home. I've gotten a lot of questions from people in that situation. So it's basically a tax a definition.
Could you also just, before we get more callers on here, and as I said, I want to go to as many as we can, but just talk about the what eligibility or ineligibility there is for the 10 million who are born in another country. I know if you're illegal or if you're non-documented, you are not eligible. But what about people with green cards and the like?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. So first off, if you are a U.S. citizen, whether you're born in this country or you're naturalized, and if you are a legal immigrant, then you have to comply with the Obamacare mandate. So if you're a green card holder, you have to comply, or any other category of legal immigrant. And those categories of people are eligible in California, no matter how long they've been in California. It's different in other states. But they are eligible for tax credits on the exchange, to purchase on the exchange, and for the Medi-Cal expansion. Now, when you're talking about people who are on different, like, temporary visas, like J visa, student visas, or H-1B, the work visas, they are eligible for the health insurance exchange, but whether or not they actually have to comply with the Obamacare benefit depends on their individual cases and the different visas. So, unfortunately, they may need to check with an immigration attorney just to make sure. And as you said, Michael, people who are not in the country legally, they are eligible for no benefits, and they also don't have to comply. They're exempt from the Obamacare insurance mandate. They don't have to have health insurance.
All right, let me get to your calls. And Sue, thank you for waiting. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I was wondering if the income is fully based on what your estimate is for 2014 or if it takes into account previous years, because there is a box to check that says something about your previous five-year income tax returns.
Elisa, can you help her?
As far as I know, everything I have heard is you estimate your income for 2014, and if it changes during the year, that you want to contact Covered California and make an adjustment. I have not heard that past income has anything to do with determining a tax credit for 2014.
We thank you for the... Sue, did you have something else to add?
No, that's it.
Because you were denied, I think, weren't you, tax credits?
Yes. Yeah, so I didn't know if it was because I had checked that box.
And you're I guess, would be characterized as low income?
Well, I'm switching to become an independent contractor, and I think my income will go down considerably.
Hmm. I would contact Covered California, 1-800-300-1506, or go and talk to someone directly.
That number is etched in both of your brains, which is really... thank you for the call, Sue. I'm going to get as many of you on as I can. We'll go up to Sebastopol. Mariah, you're on. Hi. Welcome to Forum.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I have a question about Medi-Cal that's two-part. I'm self-employed, and I went on Covered California and finished the application process, and it said that my children qualified for Medi-Cal, but I have the exact same income as I did earlier when I applied for Medi-Cal this year, and they denied me. So I don't know if the Medi-Cal limits have changed for this, and if not, then how do I don't want to accept Medi-Cal through Covered California and then Medi-Cal turn around and say, actually, you don't qualify.
Yeah, Emily Baser.
Now, this is an interesting question. Now, I'm sorry, did you say that your children are qualifying, but you're not, or you are
Correct.
Now?
Correct.
Okay.
No, my children were denied earlier this year. The whole family was earlier this year. And then through the site, they said that my husband and I qualified for assistance and my children qualified for Medi-Cal. And my other part of that was, if I would rather, I'm now more able to pay for their insurance and I would rather purchase a plan for them instead of accept Medi-Cal, is that possible?
Yeah. Okay. Let me answer the second part first, because that's easier. If you qualify, let's assume that you guys qualify, that they're accurate, you know, if anybody, you or anybody else qualifies for Medi-Cal, you are still able to purchase from the health insurance exchange. However, you are ineligible for tax credits. You just can't get tax credits. So your eligibility for Medi-Cal makes you ineligible for tax credits, which may mean that you're priced out of buying from the exchange. It would mean you'd have to pay full price. So sorry for that. Now to the first part of your question, it may be there. You know, you're about mixed families and immigration. There are going to be mixed families in Obamacare. In order to be eligible for tax credits on the exchange, you have to make between 138 and 400% of the federal poverty level. Now, the Medi-Cal eligibility for adults has gone up to 138% of the federal poverty level. Excuse me, it goes up as of January 1st, okay? And that's part of the expansion. Now, the eligibility threshold for children is different than adults. It goes up to 250% of the federal poverty level. So your children may qualify, and you may not qualify if you're somewhere between 138 and 250, if that makes sense. And it may end up being that your children are on Medi-Cal and that you are, or you or anybody else in the situation, would buy from the exchange and be eligible for tax credit. So you'd be on two different plans, I think.
And Mariah, we thank you for the call. Do you want to add
me?
Something, Lisa?
No, I agree with Emily's assessment. And I don't know why they would have been denied earlier this year, family
Hello?
With children.
Yeah, good luck to you, Mariah, and thank you for the call. Here's a listener.
Hello.
I'm sorry? I've heard somebody saying hello. We'll go to another caller in Danville. April, you're on. Hi.
Hi. I had a question about a California insurance program, AIM, for pregnant women, and it was something I used in the past for my first child, and it was really useful, but the whole reason people qualified for AIM was because they didn't have any insurance. So if we're mandated to have insurance, how can you qualify for AIM anymore?
Yeah, Lisa Alfair.
April, are you currently uninsured?
I am covered by my husband, but I pay out the nose, so it's very expensive.
Okay. Actually, I am not. I cannot answer specifically about AIM. I would wager that the move is going to be to get most people enrolled in Medi-Cal through the expansion because so many more people are eligible, or to encourage them to shop on the exchange. Emily, do you have another? Have you written explicitly or specifically about AIM?
I'm sorry. You know, I had a little bit of a technical problem here, so I couldn't hear the last minute of the conversation. I don't know a lot about AIM, though. I apologize.
All right. Let me. You're hearing us okay now, though, Emily?
No, I'm fine. I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
Okay. Let me go to Beth next. Beth is from Mountain View. Beth, you're on. Hi.
Oh, hi. Good morning. Yeah, I'm really grateful to have an opportunity to talk a little bit about the subject that I've been frustrated about. Much of the focus on the Covered California and just the insurance in general has been about those who are sort of at the poverty level. And those of us who are above, there hasn't been a lot of focus on, number one, the programs that are off the exchange. I have been fortunate to, I'm a healthcare provider and a healthcare consumer. I have always sought to get the best plan I possibly can to be able to go to whatever doctor I want to go to. And there's nowhere on the California website that I can find that indicates to people that there's a very limited pool of providers on the Covered California website. That's my first issue. When I tried to apply, I investigated Covered California when it first came out many, many months ago, and until I spoke to a insurance agent, did I have any idea the limitations in the provider. So my question is, you know, why hasn't that been emphasized to consumers? And then secondly, what about the
program
off of the exchange?
Lisa Alfares.
Okay, so first of all, Beth, we appreciate your comment. Earlier, I don't know if you heard the whole show, but earlier in the program, Emily Bazar did talk about this issue of narrow networks. And I do want to reiterate that Covered California is a marketplace which acts like a broker for private health insurance plans. So it is incumbent upon the consumer, just like you're shopping for any other product, you would want to ask these questions about, does this insurance plan cover this doctor I want to see or this hospital I want to go to? So that's one issue. And then secondly, it is true that if you want a tax credit, if you qualify for a tax credit, you must purchase a plan on the coveredca.com exchange. But if you make too much money to qualify for a tax credit, then yes, you can shop in the broader individual market where there are presumably more plans available.
This is related. Thank you for the call, Beth. Good to hear from you. And this is Laura from Los Altos who writes, and let me go to you, Emily, on this. Can you please ask where on the website one can find information about out-of-network coverage? And if it isn't on the website, do you know what the coverage is? Also, it is currently impossible to find the in-network provider list for the plan I've signed up for, Anthem Blue Cross.
I'm sorry it's so frustrating. So for Laura and for any of your listeners, I wouldn't just rely on the website. Like I said, call. And in this case, I wouldn't necessarily call Covered California. I would call Anthem. Call Anthem directly and tell them that you've signed up and just ask them for the information. They're the source. They should have the list. Could I add one thing to Beth's question about purchasing off the exchange?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So I just want your listeners to know that the exact same plans that are sold on Covered California are also sold off the exchange in the private market at the same price. However, it's the full ticket price, basically. And as Lisa said, there may be other options in your area, depending on where you live, that have different networks, for instance, or have different... they'd cost different, but you'd pay a different copay. So again, either you could call the insurers directly and find out what they offer on the private market, or you could go to one of these certified agents to walk you through it.
We're getting some emails as well as some calls that really go right to the heart of some of the difficulties, and some of them are, well, for example, this is Kristen who writes, I've been a strong supporter of health care reform. However, our new options as a self-employed couple have an 80% increase in our insurance costs and an incredible decrease in our coverage. With the best option we can afford that we found through a trusted insurance agent, neither of us can afford to get sick. We would probably go bankrupt. We feel helpless and we don't know what to do. Lisa Alferes?
So this is an issue that Covered California debated at great length. The board debated at its November board meeting. Is there is a subset of people who are seeing their premiums go up, and sometimes that is a dramatic increase. And there are multiple reasons for this, but I think at its heart is there is the individual insurance market in California is about 2 million people. 1 million people have had their plans grandfathered forward, so they keep their plans. Another million or so have had their plans canceled. Of those million people, about a third of them qualify for a tax subsidy, a credit, so they will do better. About a third had so-called skinny coverage. That means they might have had, or some people call it junk coverage. They might have had coverage that would not have been there for them if something terrible had happened. But then there's a third of people, so that's greater
it's a big
than
net
300,000 people in California who are in this position of seeing their premiums go up. Now, not all of them are seeing dramatic increases, but for the people that are, it is truly, in the words of the Covered California representative who made the presentation, it is a bitter pill for people to swallow.
And here's a listener, Emily Bazar. Elizabeth asks about switching plans. Once you sign up for a plan under Covered California, can you change to another Covered California plan in subsequent years? I ask this because a friend is concerned that a question in the enrollment process asks how long you intend to stay with the plan. She answered 5 years, but is now concerned that she won't be able to buy a different level plan during that time.
No, that's not true. You are able to switch plans during open enrollment periods. In fact, these plans only go for a year as they are with the prices that they're at. That may change next year. There may be more or less insurers on the market. So when open enrollment comes back around again, unless you have one of these legitimate kind of change of life situations like having a kid or getting married or divorced or something like that, then you're limited to open enrollments. But yeah, you can switch an open enrollment.
And here's just...
And again...
I'm sorry.
The dates are will be from now on from the same as Medicare open enrollment, which is October 15th through December 7th.
Just a good practical question for you, Emily. Kelly writes, should I over or underestimate my income? I have two part-time jobs, hoping to get one full-time or better part-time work in 2014.
That's a toughie. I mean, I wouldn't... If you underestimate and you make more income, then you're going to owe the government at tax time. As Lisa said earlier, and I think I mentioned too, you know, I would just do your best estimation. And if in the middle of the year or, you know, 3 months in, you're making a lot more or a lot less, you call Covered California and they'll make an adjustment for you.
I would also add that if she gets a full-time job with health insurance, mm-hmm. that she can drop her Covered California insurance also. I mean, that is, you're allowed to do that as long as you continue to have health insurance.
And another email, Lisa, Stephanie asks, like many graduating students, I'll be without health care coverage mid-year 2014. Will that open up a special enrollment period for me? And if so, how soon should I sign up before my coverage runs out?
Okay, so she has health insurance now through college. She's going to lose it when she graduates. My understanding is that would be a qualifying life event. She is no longer a student. She's losing her access to that insurance, and she can then go to coveredca.com and apply for health insurance.
And we'll go to more of your calls. To Whittick, here we go. Clive, hi, you're on.
Yes, good morning. I ended up having to apply using the paper application because of a problem with the website that I couldn't overcome online. And I applied over a month ago. I haven't heard anything back yet. And I was wondering how if they have any information on how the processing of the paper applications is going. I was about to call the 1-800 number when I heard your show. I have a high-cost insurance policy that I want to cancel because I believe my family will qualify for much lower-cost insurance, but obviously I want to be sure I get it before I do that.
Do you have any advice, Emily Bazar, for Clive?
No, I've been hearing the same thing, Clive. In fact, I talked to a certified agent in Southern California who sent a bunch of paper applications in for his clients on October 18th, and they just made it into the system on December 5th. And there are so many backlogs in in their paper, processing of paper applications. They're actually sending them back, I believe, to insurance agents and asking them to manually input them because Covered California itself is swamped. So that may be what has happened to your application. Call. Call or go see a certified agent or something like that instead.
Here's a practical question again, Lisa Alferez. A listener asks, can I include my son, who is a student in Portland, on my policy? Currently, he's covered under my COBRA coverage, and I'm moving to Covered California coverage.
So the son is out of state. That's so let me address the first, the more general question is, I do not know about families where one member of this is out of state, but let's just for the moment, because I do want to make sure people understand this, is if your college age student is, if your adult children are your, you claim as a dependent on your tax form, then you also have to claim any income they might make as part of your household income. So that's something people should be aware of, is my 22-year-old son, I claim as a dependent. He has a job. He makes $10,000 a year. I have to claim that as my family income. And Emily, I'm going to ask you if you have addressed this issue of the children being out of state.
I have. Okay. So I'm going to answer it in two parts. If you purchase a Covered California plan and you're traveling out of state, there are no Covered California plans don't have out-of-state networks that cover you when you're traveling for routine services. You would just be covered for emergency services. However, Covered California does offer what's called multi-state plans, and you can check to – and that is where you – if you have a dependent who is in another state and – check to see if there are any plans in your region that are available to you that are multi-state plans, and if they cover, did you say Oregon? If they cover both, would cover your son in Oregon. So there is an option for that kind of coverage with those multi-state plans if it works for your situation.
And let me bring another caller in, and that's you, Elizabeth. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air on Forum. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I have a question. I'm one of the 1 million Californians in the individual market who is grandfathered. And I'm just wondering, the people at Anthem Blue Cross make it sound like that's a really good deal for me, and I'm wondering if that's true.
That may or may not be true. I would recommend that you ask. You could start with Anthem and say, "Do you have any other plans that would be more affordable to me?" You could also shop and compare on coveredca.com. And that I would really recommend that you examine your options, because there may well be there may or may not be a better deal for you. But you cannot know unless you look yourself with your own income, where you live, et cetera, the other plans available to you in your area.
Good luck to you, Elizabeth. Thank you for calling. I want to get another caller on here. And that's Sonia from Corte Madera. Good morning.
Hi. I'm trying to figure out if my adult son, who makes very little money and has moved back home, he qualifies, but does he have to take into account household income?
Mm-hmm. Emily?
Yes, Lisa addressed this a few minutes ago. If you count him as a dependent, yes, he does.
Yeah,
but you were talking
about out of state at the time, though, student, I think.
But also, if they both file separately, then they both have their own income, and they apply as separate individuals.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And thank you, Sonia, for the call. Let me go to a few more emails here. My mother is retired, Alina writes, and spends most of her time abroad. She has Medicare Part A. What are her options for health insurance when she's here in the United States in an extended stay of 6 months or so? Emily Bazar.
Okay, so she said her mom's retired and lives over abroad or travels abroad?
It says lives abroad. Spends most of her time abroad. I assume that
means. Spends most of her time abroad. Okay. You know, if you actually, expatriates who live abroad for at least 330 days of the year are exempt from the Obamacare mandate. So, but it doesn't sound like she lives abroad at least 330 days of the year. In that case, though, if she has Medicare Part A, she's actually covered. She's covered under the Obamacare mandate, and she meets the requirement if she doesn't want to buy additional coverage, because Part A just covers hospitalization. She doesn't have to, but she could.
Here's a question, Lisa Alferez from Jerry in Oakland, who writes, I oversee the benefits program for a large local government employer. We have nearly 800 retirees currently participating in our medical plans. These retirees are all paying significantly more for our plans than they would for the new plans available on the state exchange. Briefly, they are separately rated from our active, read, younger and healthier employees, and they receive no subsidy from us. Our annual health fair open enrollment event is happening in early April, and we would like to know if there are any resources, counselors, etc., we could schedule to meet with our retirees to discuss their options in mass. Of course, you two would be ideal, but do you have any ideas about resources you could suggest?
I would suggest if their open enrollment period is in April, that will be after this open enrollment period is over. And I would advise him to contact Covered California and see if someone can come in and talk to them then.
And with just seconds left here, can you talk again about the deadline just so people are clear on this and reiterate what we're talking about in terms of...
If you want coverage beginning January 1st, you must enroll by next Monday, December 23rd. And if you haven't started yet, I would recommend not waiting until next Monday at 10 p.m. to sit down at your computer. And then the payment is due by the first month's premium payment is due by January 6th, but open enrollment lasts until March 31st.
Anything to add in terms of caveats or necessary information, Emily Bazar?
How much time do we have? No, there's a lot of caveats, but Lisa covered it. I wouldn't wait to the last minute to sign up.
Well, thank you both. And again, you can certainly go to Lisa, give your health blog because people will want that information.
Actually, what I'd really rather direct people to is we've produced a guide to Obamacare, and readers can find that online at kqed.org/Obamacare. And Emily has a great column too. Emily?
Yes, Ask Emily comes out every 2 weeks. The next one is out now or coming out tomorrow at centerforhealthreporting.org.
And that information also is on our website. Thank you, Emily Bazar. Thank you, Lisa Alferez. And thank you, our listeners, for all your questions. I know they will continue to proliferate, and I hope they will, at least most of them, if not all of them, get answered. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Our engineer is Jim Bennett. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from David Marks. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. And for all of us here at KQED, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.